gentlemen, may I direct your attention to something quite extraordinary?
Chris, the Herons are back. And we got messy.
What's going on? What? Where is the information?
I guess we're getting ready for a sister kissing fiesta.
I felt like we were playing a 2-8. It was just a 2-8.
Let me tell you, Danny is about to get destroyed in the chat. So you
are we kissing sisters, Chris?
And maybe stepsisters, but not regular sisters. I've done a little bit of research on him. When it comes to FIFA, this guy's 68.
We're going to have the greatest player of all time on the team. If there's the time to believe, it's now.
It looks like a heron shat all over it. So you guys are literally getting excited for a rank 65 player on FIFA 23. We got some pretty good FIFA cards on our squad now, all right?
You gotta understand, Kevin. This is how we scout our players here on the show.
Just look at FIFA cards.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Chris, the Herons are back. Welcome, everybody, to episode number 155 of the Battered Herons podcast. We are quarterfinals bound in the CCC. How are you doing, sir?
I mean, how else can we feel after a win like that? Taking a little shitty goal at the end, 3-1, I'll take that. You kidding me?
That sucked, though.
It sucked. But, hey, we walked away with a dub.
For sure. And, it's just so much to get into because I was surprised at how aggressive they came out to start the game. I told you I thought that they wouldn't be as aggressive. Not because I wanted to park the bus, right? Because a lot of people are like, oh, but parking the bus is stupid. Parking the bus. I didn't want to park the bus. But I didn't think that they would play that high line and risk getting beat on the counter. But we get beat on the counter when we turn the ball over in the midfield. And we were doing a great job in the midfield. They weren't turning the ball over. If we gave the ball up, it was in the final third, giving everybody enough chance to retreat, to get back on defense. And before I get to you, Chris, one last thing. Freire, I've been saying, I don't see it yet. I don't know. Today, he was hauling. He was busting ass. Freire was everywhere defensively. I finally like what I saw from him. So shout out to Freire. Great game today. And overall, just a great outing. I mean, I'm sure we were not happy with what we saw. Messi come off, you know, 3 minutes of second half. But we'll get into all that today. But overall thoughts, Chris, how you feeling?
I thought everything went well, man. I thought, you know, Robert Taylor came on for Messi. He did well. Freire, the only negative I saw in the whole game, really, and Freire is that negative, is he doesn't know how to clear a ball that well. Like, his clearing of the ball is, like, kind of sucky a little bit. He, like, didn't connect on passes, long passes. It was too low sometimes, and he would pass it to other players on the other team. Like, I don't know, man. No, that's the only negative I saw, really. Everything else was just beautiful. And Luis, for those of you who are saying that Luis Suarez is like dying, broken legs, broken knees, like, guys, this guy tried to take on a full volley, like, from 100 feet away.
Oh, I know.
Like, and this guy's straight.
Go back to, what was it, like two weeks ago? Go back 2 weeks before the Orlando game. Go check out any MLS podcast, any ESPN football, Fox football, hell, even Inter Miami podcast. People were asking, let's get rid of Luis Suarez. Send him somewhere else. Send him to retirement. We need Campana. I doubt these people can't still be saying this, right? At this point, they're like, all right, we were wrong.
You're delusional if you're saying that.
Yeah.
You're delusional.
And shout out to everybody saying that I guess I'm a little more energetic. I feel better. Definitely feel much better than I did Monday. Definitely more than Sunday. Sunday, I was a mess.
Yeah. And other people are mentioning injured Messi. We're going to get to that, guys. I promise.
I mean, we're going to get to that. But, I mean, I don't know what we're going to say because I don't know. Nobody has any info. I'm assuming the post game, I'm going to see if I can keep one eye out on the post game while – maybe somebody says something, but he looked like he was active on the bench cheering on his teammates. So,
well, and Broward Heron's mentioning that Suarez's assist was amazing, which it was. I'm pretty sure we're going to get to it, play by play. And I mean, everybody's gassed. Look, I like the sauce that Gomez did today, so I'll give him his flowers. Gomez did some pretty good stuff today. Tariq is mentioning he's worried about Messi, though. So he's going to watch him on the 22nd versus El Salvador. And look, and Tariq, I'm hoping he's okay too, because it didn't look nice to see him get off the field so quickly.
And what Soccer Daddy's saying was what I was just mentioning. I saw him laughing, standing up, cheering for his teammates. So I'm hoping, right? Like, I mean, technically you can still do that while you're injured, but yeah. I'm hoping that that means he was doing okay. All right. Now, before we get talking to the game, about the game, one thing, I wanted a couple things. First, I'm going to put that poll out again tomorrow and see if more people think that Nashville is our true rival, right? I did that like 2 weeks ago. I want to see if it changes. I'm sure Orlando's still going to win. I don't think it's going to be by as big a margin. Second of all, my shirt, F Nashville, Trashville, whatever you want to call them, right? And then third, with all this Luka Naughton or McNaughton, whatever his name is, and all Nashville fans really hyping him up because he almost injured Messi and everybody got behind them for some reason because he was like the player that they were most proud of. I don't know if you saw that a lot of Nashville fans, for some reason, decided to put up this stupid picture as their profile picture. I don't know if you saw this.
I saw it. Yes, I saw it. For those of you on audio, it's Lucas McNaughton. It's just the same picture. Like, all of the Nashville fans on Twitter just had this posted. And
as their profile picture. It was stupid.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you know what? Ridiculous. I'm disappointed because Uncle Matt, I thought you were above this. It was stupid. They were happy because he almost injured Messi and they were hyping him up. So I wanted to go ahead and I'm thinking of just putting this up as our profile picture tomorrow. Just I updated it. So there it goes.
Any of you guys want that in the chat? Yeah, let us know. Connect with us on Discord.
So we can go ahead and return that to them because, you know, there you go. There's your Lucas eliminated, heading home. All he does is lose. So I'm going to update that. I'll put that as my profile picture tomorrow. And, you know, so they can go ahead and shove that where the sun don't shine. All right, Chris. Yeah, everybody. Go ahead. You can take it away.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's requesting that picture. I saw Uncle Mad with it on. He just told everybody in the Twitter stratosphere, like, hey, take advantage and post something very crazy because they're not going to tell who did this. So I think that that's beautiful. I'm going to post that on my picture immediately.
Yeah.
I'm going to tweet it out. And then for those of you in the chat, if you guys want it, he's going to do that soon. And we'll probably post it on the Discord too. So we'll give you a link to the Discord so you guys can be able to hop onto that as well. So yeah, bye-bye, McNaughton. Good riddance. So, and yes, I will Google Drive that photo, Atomic Chill, I promise. Yes. As far as and look at this, OG watching us from Nigeria. What's up, brother? Thank you.
Shout out to OG
or sister, or it's a beautiful picture, Alex. We're gonna shoot it out to you guys so that way you can be able to go ahead and enjoy and put it up. Yeah, man, this was a phenomenal game. Look, a lot of people are looking at Messi and saying, well, did he get injured or something like that? It's like you said, he was laughing, he was enjoying the game, he was standing up. Obviously, if you had like a lower, you know, limb leg injury, you wouldn't be standing up. You'd be sitting down. He looked perfectly fine. Maybe they just felt comfortable that because we had a 2-goal lead that we went ahead and took him out. I mean, look, Robert Taylor's not like a terrible replacement. I mean, but he's not Messi. So, you know, it is what it is.
As if, obviously I'm not, but if I was, if I was a Nashville fan, I would have found like a surge of like hope. Because at that point, you're down 2-0. And right before, like, he only played 3 minutes. But those first 3 minutes, Nashville was on it. Like, they came out aggressive and attacking. And it's like, okay, so this is going to be a game in the second half. That's what I thought. Then all of a sudden, Messi comes off. And you're like, holy crap, this is dangerous. All right, and by the way.
Much appreciated, Tariq.
And for those of you that are multitasking are on Twitter also, I just put it up. So go ahead and you can use that. Right now, and I'm actually gonna I'll put it as my profile picture after the show. I don't want to get distracted, but I did tweet it out.
And look at this, Diego. Yes, my prediction 3-1, baby. So I got it right. I'm the Nostradamus or the Batter Domus. And thank you for the gift. Yes, and we won this game, and it's on to the next round, baby. Absolutely,
yes, it is.
I won in my prediction, we won the game, and we are moving on.
All right, let me tell you something, and something that I don't know if a lot of people are thinking about, and I don't know if a lot of people know, but the fact that we won by 2 goals is important, and the reason that giving up that late goal is so stupid is because we have 2 legs coming up. Technically, the home team, like the team that has the home field advantage, is the team that plays the second leg at home. For us to get that against either Monterrey, well, probably against Monterrey, is for us to either have more points than them, which means that they would have to draw – against Cincinnati because they already won. But if they were to draw and still go on to the next round, we would need to beat them by goal differential. So I think that would be the difference, but I don't think that I don't see them losing to Cincinnati though. So or drawing with Cincinnati. I think they'll beat them again. But that is my understanding, that is the tiebreaker to see who gets home field next round.
Yeah, and no information at this point about Matias Rojas so far. So, and Trucutu is mentioning Astoria Queens. Good job. I actually read a really good book about somebody in Astoria Queens. I'll probably put that out on Twitter too. So,
all right. So let's get into the game. Overall, what did you think of the starting 11? Were you surprised? I mean, I think we basically predicted, right, that the starting 11 would be basically the same, just instead of Allen, it would be Alba, and that would be the only difference.
Yeah, that was essentially the only difference. I mean, other than that, you saw Gressel finally like labeled and kicking back as the right back. I saw him way up. Same thing with Alba. So again, this just goes back to really it was a 3-5-2, not a 5-3-2. So it's the same lineup. For those of you on audio, it's Suarez and Messi up top. You have Gomez, Busquets and Redondo filling out the midfield. And then you got Alba on the left back, Gressel on the right back, Freire, Christophe and Aviles playing the center backs, and then Callender, of course, in goal with a couple other substitutions there with Dos Santos, Jensen, Saylor, Allen, Sunderland, Ruiz, Borjolin, Campana, and Taylor. So I thought this was a good starting lineup. I liked it.
All right.
Redondo is a baller, Andy.
Yes. The midfield, I thought, unsung heroes, because when you're playing that aggressive, like I was scared to do, you have to count on the midfield kind of obviously connecting the back line to the front line and also not losing possession. And I think they did a really good job of progressive forward passing was the name of the game. Like they weren't just kicking it around in the midfield. Like it was aggressive forward passes. And I mean, because of that, we didn't turn the ball over in the midfield. We didn't get count on the counter as much as we usually do. And again, when we turned the ball over, it was usually in our final third. So we had enough time to retreat. And let me tell you something. When they had a chance to counter, even Christophe, I felt like everybody really wanted this game because I felt like everybody was hauling ass. I really enjoyed the effort, I guess if you could say, which I hate saying that with professionals because you're a professional. You should always give effort. But man, I felt like they really wanted it and it showed. And I was just really happy with the effort today.
Well, and I have to give some credit to Diego Gomez and Tariq mentioning the same thing that a couple other people mentioned. Guys, there's 405 people in here. Come on, hit the like button, guys. Come on. You guys know the drill. Just scroll up a little bit. Literally two strokes from just free 99 giving us a little thumbs up, guys. It would go a long way. Much appreciated for sure. I got to give Diego Gomez his flowers. Today, he showed me something that I feel like I haven't seen in a couple games, and that's some sort of like offensive awareness, right? Other than
underestimate his, I think he does that often.
I don't know, man. I don't see him being like this offensive juggernaut like people say he is.
Not juggernaut, but
today he showed me something different. Today he showed me he could distribute the ball. Today he showed me he's willing to go ahead and try to get the ball in the back of the net. And I'll accept that from Gomez any day of the week. Listen, if you want to play that position, by all means, but at least try to contribute on that side of the field. And today he did a really good job. I mean, he did a lot of, I'm promoting the two strokes, V. Absolutely, guys. Two stroke it and then poke it.
We usually go in order, right? But since you're talking already about Gomez, we'll jump straight to the second goal and then we can go back to the first goal if you want. That second goal, I thought, was all Gomez. Obviously, Messi has to put it in the back of the net. But Gomez, outside the box, usually another player would go ahead and kick it around, right? Let me find Messi. Let me find Alba coming down the left side. He saw an opening. He saw a space, and he attacked that space. And as the space closed up, in the replay, I couldn't tell if he passed it or if it got deflected over to Messi. But regardless, he made that play happen. And it found its way to Messi, and Messi does what Messi does. He found the back of the net. But that doesn't happen. Kind of like that last goal against Nashville over there in Nashville last week where David Ruiz got that going. by attacking a player one-on-one defensively. Gomez was aggressive. He attacked that space, and without that attack, we don't get that goal. So
absolutely,
big ups to Gomez for that. And I think he does that more often than you give him credit for, honestly.
I mean, look, I don't see it. I saw it this game, and I was super happy to see it. I saw him getting saucy on the sidelines. I saw him putting in a lot of more effort on the offensive side, the same effort that he puts on the defensive side. I mean, look, this guy does have an engine. He plays super hard. He's the kind of player, like you, like we always mentioned, like you mentioned, and a lot of people in the chat mentioned, is a guy that you want on your team. But I just wanted to see a little bit more offensively. Like, we brought him in, and he was touted to be, like, a big, big talent. And I just saw a lot of hustle and a lot of defense. I didn't see much offense. But today, he impressed me. I got to give it to him. And on the first goal, he wasn't involved on that one. It was the second goal, really, that he was involved in. But the first goal, you know, that was the goal where Luis Suarez ended up, I guess, putting it in. Wait, no. Was that the one off the Messi assist? Yeah, yeah, so that was off of a Messi assist. Yes, yes.
That was a beautiful back give and go between Suarez, and it was Alba, Suarez, Messi, Suarez.
And Luis, just so you know, it's not about other people's hype. It's just that when he was brought in with Facu Farias, and they both were touted to be like this supreme talent.
No, they weren't.
Talent.
Nobody yes, said they nobody. Were. They just yes, they were good young players that needed to develop. Oh, yeah. Brother. They were supposed to develop. You can't say that unless you're like Mbappe, which was like a megastar at 19, winning World Cups and stuff. Like, usually if you're 19, 20, 21, you're expected to develop, and that's what he's doing. You got to give him time. You ask, how long do I give him? How long do I give him? I said, give him 6 months. We are, what, a month into it? What you've seen in a month, you don't think by the time 6 months comes around that he's proven himself? I think he's already proven himself.
Yeah, I mean, look, I hope to see great things from him. I'm going to give him his flowers today. He's on a positive probationary period with me, guys. Can you guys just accept that? Can you guys just accept that?
It's ridiculous, but whatever. Okay. All right. So let's work our way backwards. So
okay,
the game started. I was very surprised. And I know that a lot of people were telling me, Tata's stubborn. He's not going to change the way he plays. But that scared me because I felt like we get caught on the counter. So I thought that's a dangerous way to play. But the game started, and that's how he was playing. He's like, F it, we're going to score. That's just how I play. So that's it. I understand now. Tata, I mean, it's fun to watch, obviously, right? Yeah. Everybody likes offense. So he's aggressive, balls to the wall. And again, the midfield did a great job with consistent, progressive forward passing. It wasn't knocking it back and forth in the midfield or not. No, they were going forward, and that I think that helped
progressing
because when they went ahead and did turn the ball over, it was at the other side of the pitch, so we had time to recover. But I was surprised. Were you surprised that he came out as aggressive as he did?
I figured that they would, because I think you want to try to get the attention as much away from our defense, right? You want to be able to kind of push up as much as possible and put as much pressure on Nashville, especially considering that if they get the goal, they're just going to park the bus. So, like, do you want to wait for them to get on their attack before we do? So I think it was actually a pretty good strategy to be able to be very aggressive off rip.
But see, that's what
set
I think
the tone.
I think that's and I concede, right? It worked. So if it worked, you can't. It's hard to argue it. But
exactly.
Whenever I said I don't want to be aggressive, everybody's like, but you can't park the bus. Nobody said park the bus. It isn't one or the other, people. Like, there's a middle ground. All I said is I don't want to high line. I want my defenders to stay back just a little bit. Because if we turn the ball over, I don't want them to be at the midfield line trying to catch up to the player that's hauling their ass off. Honey Mukhtar and this other guy. I forgot the Canadian's name. But hauling ass.
Schaffelberg.
And trying to recover. That's all I would say. I wasn't saying park the bus. But again, he went ahead, he was aggressive, and it worked. Now, to that point, we're all killing Tata for playing three in the back, correct?
Yeah. Yes, 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 absolutely.
Has he lost with it? Well, he lost to Montreal, but we didn't. That was a rotated starting 11, and Messi didn't play. Has he lost with it when he's not rotating his roster?
No, he hasn't.
No. So is it fair that we keep killing him for it?
I don't think so. I mean, he's been doing pretty well with it, with Messi, of course, to be able to have that power link.
With the players he has. And to be fair, yes. They asked him. Who was it? Somebody asked him. It might have been Xavi.
This is a good point.
Somebody asked him, are you going to go back to the 4-3-3? He says he can't go back to the 4-3-3 because he doesn't have a right back.
Yeah.
So I think there's a chance that if he gets a right back, that he might go back to the 4-3-3. Mm-hmm. But at this point, he's not. Now, one more thing before I go back to you, Chris. I was listening to Franco Panizo. Shout out to him. Great reporter. I was listening to him, and he played a clip of Tata in an interview where he was answering that question. And it might have been Franco that asked it. I don't know. And he was answering that question, and he said he doesn't have a right back, but he considers Ian Frey a right back. Now, do you think when Ian Frey becomes healthy that he's going to be playing right back?
Oh, my goodness. That would be amazing, dude. I mean, I don't see it. But if he considers Ian Frey a right back, I want to see Ian Frey on the field, bro.
That sounds like what he said. He said, we don't have a right back. Ian Frey's still injured. And I was like, Ian Frey's still injured? How does he fall into this right back thing? So there you go. That maybe Ian Frey comes back and maybe he starts playing right back. So I figured that just in case anybody hadn't heard Franco, that was an interesting tidbit that I got there.
I got to give a shout out. Look at Michael Cruz. It's the first time he's been live. He's been listening to us on Apple Podcasts. Awesome to put a face to these voices. Thank you, Michael, for checking in with us.
Sorry we're uglier than you probably expected.
Absolutely. And I have no background, just like everybody says. So I still don't have that. It's in the works. He's like, I just wanted to see if this guy's really got no background. But Porfirio is mentioning Ian Frey played right back under Neville. That's interesting. I'm going to have to look back at that. And I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed, but Phil Neville's undefeated right now.
Oh, we're not going to get into that right now.
Yeah.
So I remember center defensive midfield. I remember center back, obviously. I do not remember right back. But apparently Tata thinks of him that way. So. I knocked you up your goal.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, Ian Frey. Look, we've been dying. I know me probably more than you, but I've been dying to have Ian Frey hit the field immediately. And he's got enough speed and length. He's good defensively, and he could be able to push the pace upfield. So I think that Ian Frey, I mean, not that I've seen it, you know, so I don't know what's to come, but I want to see him on the field regardless. So give me some more Ian Frey. I'm totally good with that. Give me Ian Frey playing right back, and I'll take that in a heartbeat.
Well, let's see. All right, so we move on. So you wanted to get back to that first goal.
So, yeah, getting back to the first goal, I mean, look, how amazing is it that they scored a goal quickly against us in the last game, and then we come out the gate scoring a quick goal against them, and it was a beautiful connection with Alba, Messi, and Suarez. I mean, it was just amazing.
Alba, Suarez, Messi, Suarez. Because Suarez did the slightest.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
And Suarez is like the king of that. The way he does that perfectly, and he guided the ball back to Messi and then made that run. It's awesome seeing those guys play together.
We're about to have a fight, Sean, because purple Gatorade is not the best. It's the yellow Gatorade. Okay, purple Gatorade is not the best. But look. Luis Suarez scoring a goal early in the game, phenomenal, because now all these Suarez haters that think that he's going to be in a coffin in 2 weeks, he's doing amazing, right? I mean, he's been, since a couple games ago, he's been just goal after goal after goal. I mean, this is great. This is great to see.
Well, and the thing is that it's not just goal after goal after goal. It's playmaking. Yes. He's making plays. He's creating chances for others also, right? I think that Luis Suarez played great. Messi is Messi, so I don't even rate him because he's just amazing always.
Yeah, of course.
I thought the midfield, they did a great job. Like I said, constant forward, progressive passing. I thought that they did a great job also. Constant balls into the final third. So I was really happy with the midfield. Gomez did a great job. Redondo did a great job. Busquets did well. And then the back line, I told you, Freire, I thought, is the best I've seen. Yes, what am I saying? Jordi Alba, obviously. Gressel, I didn't think Gressel pushed up as often as he usually does, which I'm glad about. I felt like when we were on the ball, we were still playing four in the back offensively because Jordi Alba would push up almost like that left wing, and then Gressel would not push up as far as he usually does. Now, there were opportunities where he did go up, and there was one, and maybe you could tell me because I missed it. I was watching the game on mute. He had a chance at a goal, and he passed it up, and he passed it back to Robert Taylor. Now, was that because he was offside, or he just passed up that shot?
I think that he didn't have a really good angle at it, and that's why he ended up giving it back to Robert Taylor. That's what I think happened there. That's what I think. I don't know. Maybe other people in the chat can put their opinions up, but
that's the downfall of listening on mute.
Yes, and unfortunately, I'm live from Area 51, guys, so I'll see you in a couple. I'll see you never.
Couple light years.
Oh, that was a good one. Yeah. So, and people want to see Uncle Matt on the live. Oh, yeah, Mr. Krabs is saying, Uncle Matt, sorry, not sorry.
Do you want me to hit him up, see if he comes on with us?
Yeah, sure. See if he's available. See if he wants to come in for a quick a drive-by, right?
Go ahead. Keep going with the first half. Let's see if he'll jump on with us.
Yeah. I mean, the first half, look, we had that goal, right? That goal happened, and I mean, that changed the pace. That changed the momentum for everyone, not just the players, but a lot of the fans are finally feeling like we're finally going to get over this hump. We're going to be able to kind of create some of the distance. And then after that, we have another goal by Messi where Diego Gomez, your guys' favorite. And now I'm gonna go ahead and give him his flowers. He did very well. Very happy to be able to see him do well. He supplied Messi with a beautiful pass. And that was him advancing the ball, Danny, right? If you remember correctly, he was the one that was advancing the ball, Diego Gomez, on that assist. So that's something that was really good. And yes, flowers for Gomez, fire emojis. Very good, man. I mean, look, he did very, very well. So very, very happy with his performance. Messi, of course, at the end of it and decides to go ahead and slam it in the back of the net. So that was a beautiful goal.
Real quick, going back to the first goal. After they scored the first goal, were you convinced that we were going to win? Because when we scored that first early goal, I was like, oh, game's over. Game's over because we have a two-goal lead. I thought that it was a wrap. I thought, and then when we added that second one, I was like, there's absolutely no chance that they win. I don't know if anybody here in the chat got onto YouTube and saw our thumbnail early. At halftime, I uploaded a new thumbnail. It said, Inter Miami advances to quarterfinals. Like, that's how confident I was. I put it out into the ether. I said, boom, at halftime, I already had it up. The new thumbnail was up because I was that confident. I didn't put a score because I wasn't sure how it was going to end. But I was confident that after that second goal, it was a wrap.
Mike V. McNaughton is going to smell like Suarez's nuts all week. And I don't know if you went somewhere else or if you were – because we put a picture up of the McNaughton. So catch that on Twitter. Download it. Make it your, like, Twitter emoji for, like, the next couple days or whatever.
Twitter profile.
Yeah, whatever, bro. You could tell I'm not really technologically like there with you guys. Mm-hmm. So, come on.
All right. So, the rest of the first half, maybe towards the end of the first half, I thought that Nashville started getting a little more comfortable, started getting into the game. A couple moments where you're like, ooh, okay, that was close. All right. But all in all, that first half was all Inter Miami. How are you feeling at halftime?
At halftime, no, I was feeling great. By halftime, I mean, we got the two-goal lead. And by then, I'll just give Michael Q his flowers. By then, I had been saying that Gomez was awesome. And we won the game because of Gomez. And, you know, I ended up, you know, liking the way that he played. And then by the halftime, I mean, we got a two-goal lead, dude. It felt great.
Real quick, Asif is up at 2:40 a.m. Shout out to Asif. Appreciate
you. Shout out to you, boy.
So he said he's got to go to bed, so he just wanted us to talk about this real quick. Now, Monterrey is going to be a tough game. Yes, but Monterrey also has to win the second leg or qualify because they still play against Cincinnati tomorrow. So it's not a given just quite yet that we're going to play against Monterrey. So we'll see how that goes. But yes, if we do, we'll get into it. And I'm sure it will be a tough game.
Absolutely. I mean, and Tariq V, hold on, let me see this. So what? Tariq V is out here saying, Mike V, he sees you on the other Inter Miami podcast. You cheating on us, bro? I don't like cheaters, bro. I don't like them, bro. You need to stay right here, bro.
Oh,
yeah, it's good. It's all love. And yeah. Listen, the more content out there, the better. It keeps us all informed. And, you know, we're not always everybody's cup of tea. You want, like, serious, serious stuff? You can go get that elsewhere. So
we're serious.
We are serious, too. We're serious. We're serious when we need to. Yeah, we're serious when we need to, and we're fun when we need to, and it's good to have a little bit of both. So this is where you come to enjoy that. And like and subscribe if you haven't done so.
All right. So second half. First 3 minutes. Nashville looks like they are very aggressive. They came out because they're chasing. They know they need to score twice, right? At least twice.
Yes.
And it showed. A little nerve-wracking at first, and then all of a sudden you see Robert Taylor coming in. I wasn't sure what was going on, and then I saw the number 10 up there, and I said, oh, no. I looked at my wife. I said, that's not good.
Yeah.
She's like, well, what if that was part of the plan all along? I said, there's no way that the plan is to run him out there for 3 minutes in the second half and then for him to take off, because if that's the case, you just don't play him at all in the second half. So obviously there's something there. There's something there.
Well, and Deanna is asking the question, just join any news on Messi, is he hurt? You know, what if it was that they just felt comfortable with the two-goal lead? What if they felt comfortable with the two-goal lead? They felt good with how the game was progressing, how much in control we were. And they said, you know what? Let's take Messi out. I think that they felt probably pretty confident that the team was doing pretty well without him, and bringing in Robert Taylor isn't that huge of a drop-off, I guess, you know. Anybody versus Messi is a big drop off, but in terms of like what he can supply to the like dynamic of the team, I think it didn't work that bad. Danny, did you?
I think that if that is what you have in mind, you feel comfortable and you want to take Messi out, you do that at halftime. You don't wait 3 minutes into the half, and even less, you don't wait 3 minutes into the second half when it looks like Nashville might score. Like the first 3 minutes, all of a sudden we scored a third goal, or all of a sudden we're on their ass and they're like, oh, these guys are dead. Like mentally they're checked out. Yeah. Then maybe. But you don't do that 3 minutes in. And then on top of that, when Nashville looks like the dominant side for the first 3 minutes, I there's something there. What it was, I don't know. Hopefully it's not serious. I didn't expect them to play against DC this weekend anyway. So it's not too much of a loss for us at this moment.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Well, and by the way, and I'll tell you,
I'm sorry. Uncle Mad just replied. He was at a bar. He's about to head home. So he said that he can't join, but he said, one, he appreciates that they miss him and they want him back.
Yes.
And two, he said, and I quote, I'm going to quote this. Our manager overthought his tactics instead of sticking with what works, but that was ultimately the better team won. And I was right about Robert Taylor. So there you
go. That's good. We got flowers, baby.
Yep. And he shouts out to the chat. So much love to Uncle Mad. And he sends it right back to the chat.
And Joel Kerr is mentioning here, he wasn't hurt from reports when we're talking about Messi. So Joel Kerr is in the trenches right now, reporting for us, reporting live from Indonesia.
For those that don't know, Joe Kerr is a honorary battered heron. He travels the world. He promotes us all over the place. And I guess he made it to Chase Stadium today. So keep us updated, Joe.
Yes. And Tariq, who do you think is the best current team in MLS? Like, I think you already know what the answer is. It's us. Absolutely, Inter Miami.
We are.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So Messi comes off. Robert Taylor comes on. And what do you think about the second half overall?
Well, the second half, obviously, was a little bit of a drop-off. We scored what? In the second goal was around the 23rd, 24th minute. Mm-hmm. After that, we go into halftime, start off halftime, and it seemed a little slow, but we kept the pace well. We kept attacking, which I was actually very surprised that the team was, like, still pushing, still being very aggressive Trukutu is saying Theo mad, drunk as fuck. Tell him to get home safe. Absolutely, yeah. Drive actually, safe, guys.
That's literally what I told him. I said,
yeah,
drive home safe. Yeah. Yeah, driving home after a bar is never easy. Hopefully he's doing the Uber thing. I don't know.
Yes. And that was the biggest surprise to me, that in the second half, we were still sort of being a very aggressive team, considering that Nashville is like on their skates, ready to try to turn it around on us to be able to, you know, get the comeback. But that didn't happen for them. I mean, they did get a couple goals that were called back. Or one goal that was called back, and then the last one that was, you know, given.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, the second half was what Inter Miami didn't dominate it as much as it did the first half. But I don't think that they were as aggressive. I mean, one, Messi's not there anymore. So I think Nashville had an easier time of kind of locking things down. And, I mean, we were okay with them holding possession a little more. And, I mean, it was just back and forth until we got that third goal off that Suarez cross. And at that point, the game was absolutely over after that third goal went down. I really don't think there's too much to talk about in that second half.
Well, look at this comment by Jack Cart. Says that Tata says Messi came off as a precaution. They didn't want to risk anything, so they decided to just sub him off. Now, I don't think he's going to give anything out. Like, he knew the questions were going to come at full tilt. So I don't think that he was going to give anything off as far as like any sort of inclination that he's injured. But, you know, I'm pretty sure it was a precaution. I mean, we did well.
But why put him in for 3 minutes? Why put him in at all?
What do you think? Like, he signaled? That would have been a good question. Like, did anybody notice him signaling something?
He has to have signaled. He had to.
Yeah. Like, he gave him like a bat signal. Like, dude, get me off that field, bro. Get me off the pitch.
I mean, I guess I could see that. I guess they were like, you know, I'm feeling a little bit of discomfort, but let me try to tough it out in the second half. And then 3 minutes in, and he's like, you know what? Let me not push it. And then he gave him the signal. So maybe that's it. Messi just didn't want to risk it. But I wish he just wouldn't have risked it at all for those 3 minutes. But I guess I can see that.
Yeah, and Grace is mentioning Tata just confirmed Messi got discomfort just now at the press. So that's something that I'm going to be able to check out tomorrow morning. I mean, look, again, is it possible that he was injured or he was tweaked or whatever? Quite possibly. The good thing is that we saw him get off, sort of, you know, jogging off, stayed standing, watched the game. He didn't go to the back of the, you know, to a locker room. I think that there's a lot of positives to take away from that. Maybe if he was dinged, but at the same time, if he just, you know, stayed on the bench and watched the game, I think he should be good. Probably not going to play on Saturday then. Forget about watching him versus DC United.
What did you think of Drake tonight?
I thought Drake played pretty well. I think our defense played better than I've seen all season.
100%.
So obviously, in turn, Drake Callender has less work to do, but at least on the opportunities that he did have in terms of like to block and to parry things away, I think he did pretty well. A big difference than what we saw in the last game. Absolutely.
But he had a huge save on McNuthin.
Yes, he did. It was like square right in his face, wasn't it?
0.0. Yeah. He got his arm up real quick.
Yeah, that was a really, really great, really great save. So, Tank, for you in the chat, there's no need for CJ Dos Santos.
Oh, could you imagine Gillespie trying to block that? Oh, my God. That would have counted for 2 goals.
Yeah, that would have been a two-goaler right there.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
And Michael Cruz saying, see you, looking forward to more podcasts tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow we are going to be live as well, and we're going to be
at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, 8 o'clock, guys. Tomorrow we're going to be previewing the game against DC United. We got a podcast that's going to join us as well, so stay tuned for that. And Mr. Spider Pig, yes, Gomez was a baller tonight. Yes, Gomez was a baller.
All right, let's see. Anything else, Chris, you can think about the game?
Well, you got the Robert Taylor goal, which was a beautiful assist by Luis Suarez. Like, listen, I can't stress this enough, but Solana was right when we previewed Luis Suarez. He's not just a goal scorer, but he's a goal facilitator. He is a playmaker.
I don't want to take credit away from Solana because I know he's Uruguayan, so he like lives and dies by Suarez. Yes. But I think just about anybody was saying this. It was the weird impatient Inter Miami fan that was like, that's it, we can't. We need Campana. Yeah. We need Campana. Everybody knows what Luis Suarez has a career of this. He would literally did it in Brazil last year. He was the MVP of the league last year. 3 months ago, he won this award. Like, yes, Solana was saying it, but so was a lot of other people. Like, I know Solana because he's Uruguayan, but Suarez is a baller. You just had to give him time. I don't understand why anybody made such a big deal about that.
And Hoffmat is mentioning Suarez has 4 assists. So, and look, the proof is in the pudding, guys. Like, Suarez, Truco is mentioning Suarez is good in general. And, I mean, look, Suarez is a really good player. And luckily for us, he's not just a goal scorer, but he's also a playmaker, a goal facilitator. And you could tell that from the most recent couple games, he's a very unselfish player. And that's something that's not really common, I think, at the striker position. So to kind of have that out of Luis Suarez is very refreshing, because that means that he has confidence in the players that he's playing with. So, and Suarez is a crack. Yes.
All right. Well, so we won. Nashville is getting sent home by us quite again. So now we sit and we wait for Cincinnati and Monterrey.
Yeah.
Now, I saw somebody in the chat earlier ask who is probably tougher. I would venture to say Monterrey. They are the top of that league. So I would assume that they are the toughest competition. Brandon Vasquez, Cincinnati's former player and goal scorer, number 9, is now playing for Monterrey. He scored on his former team in the first leg. So I would venture to say that Monterrey is definitely the tougher side. But honestly, I've really wanted to see Inter Miami play international games. And although this is an international tournament, Nashville, although our rivals, is still an MLS squad. So, yes, I get it. Cincinnati is a tough opponent. And I know Monterrey is probably the tougher of the two, but I want to play Monterrey. I want to see Inter Miami travel to Mexico and play a game in Mexico. I want to see them play over there. I want to see a Mexican team come over here and play, like Cruz Azul, where we played them. Like, that's what I kind of want to see, because, correct me if I'm wrong, did we play more than one Mexican team last year in Leagues Cup? We played Cruz Azul, and I think that was it, right? Because then we played against Atlanta, Orlando, Dallas, Charlotte, Philly, and then Nashville. So all the games that we played last year were against MLS squads outside of that very first game against Cruz Azul. So I would like to get some more international opponents. And at the moment, there's only MLS and Liga MX teams left. So I kind of want Monterrey.
Well, so, I would love Monterrey. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what Esteban said, Monterrey is the highest rated club in CONCACAF at the moment, as far as rankings goes.
Yeah. And that would be a really good, that would be a really good matchup. I think that it would be a really good matchup, not just for the sake of the team, but I think for the sake of the league as well. It'll give us a really good idea in terms of comparison against a Liga MX team. You don't think so?
Yeah. I do, and Lucho Lalo is asking if we played any other. I don't think so. I'm trying to remember, because, and I don't want to bore everybody with this, but it was Cruz Azul, Atlanta, Orlando, Dallas, Charlotte, Philly, and Nashville. Yeah, 7 games. Yeah, that was it. That was the only Mexican team we played last year on our way to the Leagues Cup final was Cruz Azul. Every other team was an MLS team, unfortunately. So, I mean, we won it, still counts, but I kind of want to see us play against those other teams.
Well, and like I said, I think it gives us a little bit more weight in terms of like where we stand, I guess, internationally when we face off against Liga MX teams, which happens to be teams that people think that are better, quote unquote, bunny ears than MLS teams. No?
I don't think we have a normal MLS team.
Yeah.
Right. We're not lining up with, I don't know, with I'm trying to think who Orlando has off the top of my head. I couldn't think of any names. But we're not lining up with McNaughton and Scheffelberg and like we have Messi, we have Suarez, we have Alba, we have Busquets. I'm not worried. I want to play these teams because I want to beat these teams. Everybody thinks that this is like, oh, MLS teams always lose to Liga MX teams. They have a lot of money. Yeah, we have players that also make a lot of money. They're just taking a lot of pay cuts to play on our team. We got a sick squad, and I want to see the sick squad play against the top teams.
Well, and Florida Man wants all the smoke. Says we're in a tough bracket, but bring it. So yeah, bring all the smoke, guys.
I'm all forward. So,
yeah, everybody, bring the smoke. We're totally good for that. And McNaughton, yes, Samir on McNaughton is garbage. Dennis, yes, McNaughton is dirty as hell. Guys,
McNaughton. Yeah. I'm calling McNaughton.
Go to our Twitter page and get that image and put it on your Twitter bio.
And I'm just going to do it one more time, just in case anybody doesn't know what we're talking about. This was the profile picture that all Nashville fans were putting up over the last 24, 48 hours. For some reason, they decided to put this up as their profile picture, as like Unity or something, because everybody was kidding McNaughton. So I updated it, and I'm going to put this up as our profile picture for the next 24 hours. So you could go ahead and save it once I post. I already put it on Twitter and have some fun with it right back. Just throw it back in Nashville fans' faces. That is a Barbie poster, yes.
Well, it's going to be – it is. It is. And listen, I'm looking forward to whoever we play, because I think that at the end of the day, we have a very good team that can be able to kind of take that on, that takes the pressure. Because, look, we need to be able to kind of play up against our opponents. So whatever the better opponent is, bring it. I'd rather play against better teams than worse teams, to be perfectly honest. And Lucho, I get it, Lucho Lalo. I promise you, within like a week or two,
but you're saying to put the McNaughton picture up there.
I'm not about to go and buy a fat head of a McNaughton picture and paste it on that wall. I'm not doing that.
And our correspondent Joe Kerr is on the ground. Says Tata says Messi is injured, probably won't play Saturday at DC. Well, we figured that he wasn't going to play against DC anyway, because even though he didn't play last weekend, that's still a whole lot of games in a span of 2 weeks. It was five, so for him it would be four. We figured he was going to be out this Saturday anyway. But I still think we have enough to beat DC, but we're going to get into that tomorrow in that preview episode. And then Joe Kerr said that he heard that from Michelle Kaufman. That's her name, right?
Yeah, Kaufman. Michelle Kaufman. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. She was out there actually filming some of the game. I guess some of the fans. I guess there were tons of people waiting for the team bus to go in this before the game. So, and that's surprising, man. It was a pretty decent show out on a Wednesday, but that's one thing I kind of wanted to get into for a lot of you local guys, is that there were still tickets before the game started available. I looked it up like 10 minutes before the game, and tickets all over the place for $200 apiece.
Well, why for $200 apiece?
No, it was, and those were sold by Inter Miami, not by verified resellers. The verified resellers had already shelled off all their tickets, but you could tell that at the end, what was left was Inter Miami posted tickets for $200 minimum. So that means that Inter Miami, as an organization, decided that they're going to scalp enough to leave the ticket prices at $200 minimum and actually did not sell out the game.
Yeah, it didn't look like a sellout. Were you surprised? Because I saw a lot of people on Twitter like, oh my God, a team with Messi not selling out. What a disgrace.
I don't know, man. I wasn't really surprised, because, and you and I spoke a little bit about this before. Listen, it's a freaking Wednesday. Like, Drive Pink, a.k.a. Chase Stadium, is not the closest thing to a lot of where the fans are based out of. So, like, you have a lot of people down here in Miami and South Florida, you know, in Dade County, that are not very close to the stadium. You know, you'll have some Broward County people go out there, but you think somebody in Plantation or someone in, like, Pembroke Pines is going to go pay $200 to watch Messi and friends play on a Wednesday?
Look, if that stadium was...
But that's you. I'm talking about genericguy.org.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. The reason I didn't go is because they didn't give me first right of refusal. Now, there's another opportunity. Inter Miami, now you have another Champions Cup game coming up. And it's against a Mexican squad. So it's going to be a hot ticket, because we do have a lot of Mexicans here in South Florida. So they know that it's going to be a hot ticket. So my question, do you think that they're going to now give season ticket holders first right of refusal and they'll realize that they did wrong and that's why the stadium looked the way it did? Or do you think they're going to be like, nah, we're still going to try to bank on this and here you go. Here's your pre-sale, but we're not going to offer you your tickets. You get to choose from rows 10 and up at $200 a piece.
I think, and Manuel's mentioning, hopefully this makes the ticket prices go down.
Yeah,
and this is a shout out to the battered brethren in 124, section 124, aka the battered section. Okay, Rob Wise, I know you've been asking us to sort of like, you know, throw our hands into this gauntlet of ticket battles. Yes, like you said, Danny, this is the opportunity that the organization or the team or ticket sales or whatever has to take and actually give some of give all of the season ticket holders the first right of refusal for their seats. You guys have to make this happen, because if there's other teams that could be able to get this done, then you guys should be able to get this done. You guys are literally hosting the greatest player of our planet of all time. So I think if there's something to get right, you got to get it right in this next matchup. And if you don't, shame on you.
I'm not going to rant. But I think that we have a better chance of getting a fair price in tickets and possibly them finally giving us first right of refusal if Cincinnati's the team we play against.
Oh,
if we play against, really? If we play against Monterrey, I don't believe in this team doing the right thing. No way. That's too juicy of a game. That's too juicy of a game. They're going to be like, you know what? Let's milk it. Let's milk it. Let's get this money. That's what I really do believe.
What
that.
I don't think they're going to get.
I hope
that's
I'm wrong.
That's filthy.
I hope. Oh, he actually brought this up on the show. Florida Man is asking, how do you feel about what Tom Bogaerts said about the possible rule changes for the 22 initiative?
Mr. Krabs.
He actually brought this up when he was on with us a month or two ago. And Chris and I have been saying it for a while. We don't want there to be a La Liga, English Premier League, like random takeover by the top teams, and then that's it. Like, I don't want that for the MLS. I like the bit of parity.
Yeah.
But we do think they should increase some things. Like, there should be a fourth DP, and the U22 initiative should have always just been you're allowed to have three young U22 players. There should not be a reason why, like, okay, but you have to have a third DP player that's a young DP for you to have three U22 initiative. Like, it was too complicated. It was unnecessary. But now I think that is going to happen, because that makes sense. If they do that and then they give us a fourth DP next year, you have seven quality players out of the starting 11. I know that for some people that watch European soccer, it's like, oh, my God, that's horrible. Man City has an all-star team on the bench. Like, yeah. I get it. But, you know, we do like the parity. And I'm sure at some point, once we start seeing that, we're like, okay, give me five DPs. Like, I'm sure we'll want more and more and more. But, like, I'm okay with the baby steps. Just increase the cap, like Dennis just said. Increase the salary cap. Give us four DPs and the three U22 initiative players. And I think that that's a step forward. Not like the absolutely no step forward that they did this year. I thought that that was a massive miss this year.
No, and listen, but to us, at least to me, any progression, slow progression is good progression. So as long as there's positive changes to be made like this, like increasing the cap later on, I think that we're in a pretty good trajectory to sort of open up and put ourselves in a place where we can actually compete with some of the top leagues. And
not around the world, but here in CONCACAF, yeah.
Yeah, in CONCACAF, yeah. But I mean, hey, look, the next step is after CONCACAF against the world. So, you know, we can make that happen.
You got to get rid of all salary rules for that. Like, you can't compete against the top teams in England and in Spain with any salary cap at all. Like, you need to just take the chains off and just let people spend if that's the case.
I want to mention this by Jessica Santamaria. Nice angle there of talking about Messi is the GOAT. Like, if you guys think Messi is the GOAT, not because of Danny and I. Okay, if you guys like Messi, like the video. Good stuff there, Jessica. I like that. Yes, little steps, absolutely. That's what counts, Marasovic. Those are the things that's going to help progress this league, to help us get better. And then now that we start talking about that, now we have Dennis saying, you know, Rodri incoming. Somebody else asked, is Modric incoming? I mean, once we start opening up different things here and there, now we got a ton of other people coming.
I will tell you, if this move, because I saw some people, and I guess we'll end it here because I don't know what else we would talk about. But if this move happens in the summertime, like Tom Bogart said, it does open up a DP spot for us. Because the way that things are currently constructed, Campana has to be a young DP in order for us to have three U22 players.
Yes.
If this happens, we can now either buy down Campana and open up that third DP spot and bring in a Modric or any other player, because we won't need that third DP spot to be a young DP. So technically, even though I don't know if this is something that probably could have been coming anyway, and I don't see it benefiting necessarily Inter Miami directly, but it could help us out in the summertime, get someone else. I don't think they would sell Campana. I mean, even though they have that opportunity to do so also. But I do think that it opens up to getting another DP and keeping all the U22 players. I think they should go for four. We said it a couple weeks ago. Let's get four DPs, four U22s, 8 out of 11. I'm good with that. I'm good with that.
And I think that a lot of teams are going to be good with that. I think a lot of organizations are going to be good with that as well. So I think that that's for sure going to be a good thing. And Adam is saying, driving home from the game, do you know why Messi subbed so early? It's because he went to go get some yellow Gatorade, because that happens to be the best Gatorade that you can drink.
So apparently what was said in the post game was that he had a little bit of discomfort. Nothing crazy, but they wanted to play it safe. But expect them to say that he is injured and nursing an injury, and that's why he's going to miss the DC game on, was it Saturday or Sunday? Saturday. Saturday. So because they already said that he's probably going to miss the Saturday game against DC. So apparently just discomfort. Now him missing a big game like today, I mean, I guess because they were up 2-0, they maybe felt a little better about it. But apparently it's just discomfort, nothing to go crazy about. He's going to have a week and a half to rest because they don't have a game next Wednesday. So he should be good. We should be good.
Yeah, it's going to be on Saturday. Saturday at a random ass 2 p.m.
Yep.
Random ass 2 p.m. So, yes, Yo Sore, yellow. That's the best Gatorade that you're going to be drinking. Guys, no, Marasovic, get out of here with this cucumber Gatorade. What is that? I wouldn't drink cucumber or anything.
I think all Gatorade tastes very similar, so it doesn't matter to me. I'll drink them all.
Well, I like vitamin water, triple X.
Vitamin water?
Yes, vitamin water, triple X is the best thing you'll drink, even better than yellow Gatorade.
Why don't you just drink water?
No, vitamin water, triple X. Vitamin water, triple X. Guys, if you haven't bought it, vitamin water, triple X. Thank me later.
You're weird. Just drink water.
No, I mean, I'll drink water, but if I want tasty, if I want a tasty drink, I'm going to get vitamin water, triple X. Do you even know what triple, you know what? Do you know what triple X is? Is it too late for me to gas bag?
I know what triple X is, but I don't know if you're going to get a censored for saying that so many times that people are going to like the YouTube, like, I don't know what they use.
The because, algorithm is going to.
Yeah, because we've been warned in the past about things that we've said, and it's like, hey, you got to watch out, maybe, you know? And I'm like, we're like, what the hell? What did we say? So, you saying that often, I'm sure we're going to get flagged again.
Well, I'm going to save this, and I'm actually going to pop it up on your face real quick. Hold on. So I saved it. I saved the bottle, guys, and I'm going to show you guys what the best drink is. And this is the best sports drink that you're going to find yellow Gatorade.
We'll end it with this.
Triple X.
What is that?
Vitamin water. Now we're gas bagging. Now we're gas bagging, yeah. Mr. Krabs. Yes, yeah, I am yapping, David. But listen,
it's definitely time to get out of here because we are we are not sponsored by Vitamin Water. Although if they would like to sponsor,
I wish we were. Are you kidding me? Of course. I'll take. Give me, pay me by the truckload of that.
All right, Chris. Any final thoughts?
No, man. That's it. It was an amazing game. Amazing start. It was great to see the offense play together like that. It was actually good to see the defense play well. And I hope that we kind of carry this momentum into the next couple games and against whoever we play next in the next round.
We'll find out tomorrow night. Hopefully we can be able to get first right of refusal. Hopefully, yeah. Hopefully. And I wouldn't be surprised if those tickets go on sale tomorrow, because Inter Miami likes to do that. They'll be like, hey, so they'll send you an email like at 8:45 or 9:45. Just so you know, at 10 a.m., tickets are going on sale for the game, blah, blah, blah. It's like, what the hell? Like, give me like at least 12 hours. You know, yeah. Some people work. So, but whatever, we'll see. All right, if you are listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5 stars, comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, please leave us a like, subscribe, share, tell your friends. Thank you for watching all the way to the end. And for those of you in the chat, as always, you guys are the best part of the show. We appreciate you sticking with us, hanging out. I hope everybody goes ahead and shares that eliminated Luca McNuthin picture, because it was quite annoying when I kept seeing his pictures pop up on my stream. So we'll be back tomorrow night to preview the DC United game at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. So until the next one, have a good one.
I do have a Hotmail.